sir.
Welcome to the Thin Line Believers Podcast. Coming to you live from Oregon and Arizona. That's your ass.
Oh, I'm gonna blow out some speakers with that one.
That one for all the wisdom.
There, we'll let that play in the background for a little bit. Why? Because we can.
It just sounds cool.
Yeah, and by the way, before I take my last drink of this, I'm gonna say it's tea.
Is it what valley? What?
Willamette Valley First Responder Chaplaincy. Shout out to you, Dean. Dean, there you go. My friend,
look like,
the British American fellow.
That looks like the game console. That,
think so?
Remember that game, the color one? It goes beep beep and you follow it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bop It or something like that.
Something like that. Or is it Simon?
I don't know. Oh, there was that too, wasn't it?
Yeah, like
yeah.
You follow it.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. I think it's supposed to represent like the different entities that he serves.
Hmm.
You know, the fire, law enforcement, dispatch. What's great? Is that corrections? Maybe.
Isn't corrections green?
I thought that was military.
Oh, there
I don't know. Oh.
Anywho.
Okay, well, the rock's almost over. So, here in about 20 seconds, we'll be done.
Right.
Mike, faith today. Faith.
Gotta have faith, faith, faith.
It's easier said than done.
Oh, tell me about
it. Easier sung than done, I guess, for you. Okay.
I think it's just easier spoken, right? Versus actually living out faith.
Yeah. And we'll get into that here in a second. Why don't you pray soon, Mike?
Yeah. Lord, we come before you, God. I pray that you would just bless this episode. Lord, bless our conversation, bless our topic on faith. And Lord, those who would watch and listen later on, Lord, may they be ministered to. And these last days, Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus and fix our eyes upon you, Jesus. And so we surrender this time to you now, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. The last week or so has been, I would say, a season. I'm not sure if you can call a week a season. But it's actually been longer than that. It's been a few months of anxiety for me. And I know that I'm not the only person that deals with anxiety, stress, depression, whatever in any level, it sucks. And I think the core of anxiety is worry. I think the core of worry is lack of faith. You know, when I worry, what I'm saying is that I'm expecting the worst, when really that's not what the Bible says at all, right? So, this morning I sent you a text, said let's talk about faith, because my reading this morning in my alone time was Matthew 8 and 9. And something really, really stuck out at me, and it was... I think the core message in both of these chapters is faith. And it's, I'm sure, the core message in much of the Bible is faith, but particularly these two chapters here. And the reason I say that is I noticed something that stuck out at me when Jesus has this encounter with a guy that's only identified as a centurion, right? So he's clearly a Roman soldier, and he's got a servant who is a paralytic, and it says that he's dreadfully tormented, his servant is. And so this centurion comes to Jesus, and this is very interesting to me, but it's not like it's a Jew that comes to Jesus, right? And we would almost expect that it would be a Jew coming to Jesus, but it's not. It's this centurion. And he asked Jesus for healing for this guy, essentially. And actually, he doesn't even ask for healing. He just says, hey, this is, I have a servant, and he's not doing so well. And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy that you would be under my roof. He said, just say the word, and he'll be healed. And the centurion describes his position of authority, right? He tells his servant to go and this soldier to go, and they do what he says. And he's comparing that to Jesus and his authority. So he can see that Jesus has this authority over the spiritual, right? Over these tormentors. And in this case, Jesus, it says he marveled. Not like the comics, but like he was in awe, right? He marveled. And said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, not even in Israel. And Israel, obviously, we know is God's people. And so he would expect to see this great faith because they were the ones that were given all of these prophecies about him, about his coming. But that's not the case. Instead, he doesn't find much faith at all. And so we, you know, I viewed that in contrast with a story that's just a little bit further here. In verse 24. So Jesus and his disciples are on a boat, and a great tempest arose on the sea, it says, so that the boat was covered with waves. But Jesus was asleep. Somehow Jesus sleeps through this, probably because he's not afraid. And his disciples woke him and said to him, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Now, I'm sure from Jesus' standpoint, he was thinking, man, a little dramatic, maybe. But then we see this same word used again. He said, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then we see this word again. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I find the contrast very interesting, right? So Jesus, seeing a man of great faith, seemingly great faith, says that he marveled at that man's faith. But then on the contrast, when these guys have little faith, almost no faith, except that they know well enough to call on Jesus, when they have almost no faith, they marvel at Jesus and the power of God working through him. So that just really stood out to me today, that Jesus marvels when we do have faith. It's almost like, well, he just knows us so well, you know, and he expects that we would have some kind of faith.
This is a marvelous topic.
Thank you. I chose it myself. I suppose I chose it.
You know,
but hey, let's go on a little further here, real quick.
Yep.
Chapter 9, verse 2. When Jesus saw their faith. Okay? So here they're bringing in this guy, when Jesus saw their faith. And then we go on. There's the woman with the issue of blood. And he says, your faith has made you well. And then we go down here, and there's these blind men that come to him, crying out to him, and he says, do you believe that I am able to do this? And down below it says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Okay, your turn, Mike.
You know, in just listening to you and you sharing about faith, you know, God allows, obviously, problems to take place in our lives so that you have an opportunity to exercise faith. The centurion, like you said, was a Gentile, not of the seed of Abraham. It's kind of like, you know, when officers, you know, work special duty for like a Christian event, like a concert, and, you know, they invite a pastor and pastor sharing, the cop's just sitting there, standing there. And he's, you know, he's hearing this and he's going through some trials. Obviously, the centurion, being who he is, has heard probably about the fame of Jesus. You know, and then he's got this guy, his servant, who's going through. And I'm realizing, as we talk about this topic of faith, wherever faith is exercised, there's some sort of pain attached to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether it be cancer, you know, whether, you know, I love that story of the woman that had the bleeding issue. You know, because back then, if you had that kind of ailment, you're an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
today,
you're unclean. You're outside the camp, right?
You're unclean. You don't have the hygiene like you used to,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like we do today. So you're an outcast. And you know, I think, like on Sunday, I was sharing how at the church, whenever there's like some sort of a New Testament principle, there's an Old Testament picture. And I love how Jesus uses parables. But then as you read the Gospels, you see that every time there's a problem, faith is attached to it, whether you're the Gentile side or on the Jewish side. And like you said, you would think the Jewish people would be more aware of what's going on, but they're not. Kind of like today, we ought to be not surprised in the last days. We ought to be not surprised that there's rumors of wars, there's famine, there's inflation, and on, because the Bible talks about it. And when you're talking about this, how Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith, and then yet the disciples marveled at Jesus, you know, I guess it's no different. My portion of text where God really ministered to me was Mark chapter 4 going into beginning of chapter 5. You know, it's the same story. Disciples going to the boat after day of ministry, and Jesus is sleeping, right? That's the picture of Jesus sleeping. And the Greek word, the word storm, is caused by Satan. And this is what's funny. It's like you have professional fishermen in the boat with Jesus, but you see two different contrasts, right? Jesus is sleeping on my pillow, you know, with my blanket and my slippers. And then you got the fishermen who ought to know what to do when there's a storm, but they don't. They see their Lord who's sleeping, right? And then they say, well, who is this that even calms the winds and the waves?
Mm-hmm.
And something that I find interesting is faith is always exercised when there's a storm or where there's some sort of pain, there's some sort of discomfort, because I think it's an opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf, but to also exercise our faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, faith is that, like the Bible says, evidence of things unseen, you know, hope for and all that. And I think God brings us to that place where, hey, exercise your faith. You might not see it, but you need to exercise your faith.
Yeah.
And I mean, even all, because look at it, in Mark chapter 4, going into chapter 5, and I always tell my family this, I said, whenever we're going through a storm, the storm's moving. The storm's moving us. And we don't know that, though, because we're in the middle of a storm, and all we see is the winds being boisterous, the waves crashing, being cold, right? You know, being in an unknown circumstance. All the while, God's using that storm, whether it was caused by the enemy, Satan, or by our own stupidity, the storm's still moving. And when we land, right, we're going to be faced with the challenge. But I love what Jesus says in Mark chapter 4. He says, boys, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say let us go under. He says let us go over. Mm-hmm. And for the disciples, I think they needed to see the literal hands and the miracles of God through their own eyes. Because I think they're at that level where they need that. Whereas, you know, the woman that had the bleeding issue, the centurion that had the servant that had the issue, They were so desperate that they're willing to even go outside of their norm of being a Gentile and seeking a Jewish leader, so to speak. Right? It's like, I think many of our friends that are going through cancer or different things, and they've tried counselors, they've tried psychologists, they've tried psychotherapists, they've tried meds, they've tried all this stuff. And God's like, go ahead, try all that stuff. I'll be your last resort. Right? And it's like that classic saying, like, when we come to the end of ourselves, we'll find it. You know? But I like your insight, because Jesus marveled at the centurion, right? But the disciples marveled at Jesus. And I think it's just that, you know, on the job training. I think the disciples were obviously needing to go sit through some training and go through some how Jesus did ministry, and versus I wish there was like one of the things I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven is, can I get a replay on some of these scenes? Like, what happened to the woman that got healed with the bleeding issue? Like in a crowd when she says, if I only could touch the hem of his garment. She was, you know, because when you're at rock bottom, the only place to go is up, right? Unless you just stay down there. But I mean, I want to see the replay of like, if I can touch the hem of his garment, right? She's an outcast. She's going through the crowd. She knows she's not shouldn't be in the crowd. And she just... And then I love how it says it in the Bible. Jesus says, who touched me?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like a physical grab, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a brush of the garment, man.
She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder, like, was she a woman of scripture? And she knew, like, hey, this is the guy with coat of many colors. This is the Messiah. I know it is. But because I'm an outcast, I can't voice my opinions, my thoughts, my life, blah, blah, blah. But I've been so isolated. I'm such a lonely woman. I don't have any family. I don't have any friends. I don't even have foes. Man, if I could just touch. And for Jesus to say, who touched me? And of course, the disciples like, are you serious, Lord? We're like in a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? But in the spiritual realm, when Paul says we don't war against flesh and blood, we're in that spiritual realm. When this lady says, if I can only touch the hem of this garment, you know, this is going to be really cheesy, but it makes sense to me. So I just watched the movie Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were watching that the other day. Go on.
And there was a little girl that's in that movie, and I didn't know she was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw Kong not as a giant beast, but as a giant friend. And in that movie, it shows all the sound just going away, right? And that slow moment of her, it's like E.T. And they connected, right? And I think that's what God wants. We're to the point where take us out of this physical realm of where we're at and into the spiritual realm. Because let's admit it. Even the worst place that our economy will go through in inflation, we'll still be better off than most third world countries. Right? And for that woman to say, man, if I could just, right? And for, I mean, think about it. Isn't that crazy? She was able to get the attention of Jesus Christ in the moment of crisis in her faith, or step of faith, I would say, to grab the Lord's attention. Which makes me think, Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, not of evil, but of peace, right? A future and hope. But it also says that I know the thoughts before you even think them. And then she was able to touch the hem of his garment. And then the foolish disciples were like, really, Lord? We're in a crowd. Right? So, but I think is it somewhere in the Bible, I'm trying to think, that each of us were given a measure of faith? I'm trying to think. But I know that our faith are at different levels.
Yeah, you can see that with the centurion, right? I mean, here you have these disciples that have been following Jesus, watching him do miracles. Who knows? Maybe I would bet that centurion wasn't even at the Sermon on the Mount. This is soon after where the disciples listened to all these incredible words where he spoke, you know, the Bible says as one who had authority. Mm-hmm. So here they are listening to him, and faith comes by hearing. But then here comes this centurion.
Wow. Well, it's amazing to me. So it just shows you that God looks at both the rich and the poor at equal planes.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't really care. You know, I taught on Acts chapter 4 and 3. Peter and John go to the temple to pray. Probably saw the lame man every time they went to the temple because it's been 40 years since birth. Mm-hmm. But that day was a special day because why? You know, I mean, you know, Pastor Chuck Smith used to always say, don't miss the supernatural God in the natural things you do. And so in the daily things you do, the Lord might say, today's the day, boys. Go. Mm-hmm. So it took faith. I mean, think about it. It took faith on Peter's part to say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It took faith on the beggar's part for 40 years, no ability to use his lower limbs. What did you just say? You want me to what? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, do you reach up to be lifted up from your lame condition? Do you reach down as a man of faith, as a believer? Do you say that? And I think a lot of times we miss those opportunities to exercise our faith, whether it be fear in our heads, fear of being rejected, who knows? You remember that story? It's in what part of the gospel was it, where another commander, maybe it's the same one. I don't know. Maybe I'm going crazy. 4.5 hours of sleep is not good for you. You know, when the centurion's like, hey, can you pray for my kid? Or is it my servant got healed? I believe. And then he asked the servants, at what time was this healed? And it was that same hour where that person was healed.
Yeah, and they talk about that one because I think, if I remember right, the distance from where he was to his hometown should have taken him like an hour walk, but it took him 4 hours or something like that, right? And so it's like, well, he had such an incredible faith that he didn't just go straight home like, oh, worried. It's like,
yeah,
oh, I can take my time.
Yeah.
She's been healed. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's another great example of faith that I'm envious of, I guess.
Well, I think in our world today, you know, I think we are living in unprecedented times where if the like our ancestors, let's say, just even in 100 years ago, if they saw the technology of today, they would think it's a movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they knew what a movie was. Yeah.
Yeah. Like kids today, like I have hundreds and hundreds of audio teaching tapes. And if I pull that out, you know, it's like those YouTube videos where this guy's like, hey, hands him a, a rotary dial phone.
Yeah.
Kids are like, what is this? Right? You know, I've been praying more and more lately to be more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to see with His eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, one thing about being a first responder is you can get so callous and hardened it just becomes routine, you know. And it does with repeat offenders, like the 40-year-old lame man. It's been there for at the Gate Beautiful probably every single day. But to still be so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like a hearing of a dog, right? They hear something. And, you know, like, are we that sensitive to the Lord, or the Lord's, you know, nudging you this way?
Yeah. You know?
And I mean, I'm sure you've had those times where there are those calls, you just get the, you know, you get chicken skin and you're like, I don't have a good feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take an extra few moments, be prayed up mentally, emotionally. You know, because all hell can break loose.
Yeah.
I was talking to my next door neighbor, who's a retired Phoenix cop. And he was telling me that just yesterday, he was like, he goes, I had this gut feeling not to look for this. There was a convenience store robbery taking place. And they're trying to catch this guy. And supposedly this guy was in a mobile home park. And he was saying, when he was getting off work, he had this like gut feeling like he's in this area. And his gut feeling was just leave it alone. He's going to be there, right? He's going to be there. Well, he didn't listen to his gut feelings, got a couple of other guys to the situation, and they got into a shootout. In hindsight, he's like, I wish I would have just listened to my gut feelings, because bullets barely missed my head. You know, and you know, a couple of the guys got shot, but they ended up getting them. And of course, I'm telling him, I was like, that was the Lord trying to get your attention, my friend. You know, because a lot of cops, they think like, oh man, I barely missed it, man.
Whew. Yeah,
it was luck. I was like, I don't know if it was luck. It's luck. It could be spelled G-O-D.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, cops and firefighters love to talk about war stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in those war stories, really, how many of those times was it really the Lord that really protected? You know, because I honestly believe the prayers of the saints keeps a lot of officers, firefighters, soldiers protected.
Yeah.
They might not know it, but God could put it on someone else's heart, pray for this person, you know? And that's where, like, I don't want to be like the disciples, like, Jesus, we're in a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? Right?
Yeah.
And that's where I don't want to, you know, as I get older, as, you know, as a believer, is like, I don't want to become callous as a Christian. I want to be sensitive. I want to be, something I'll probably share with the church in the coming weeks. You know, I'm literally, I think I'm going to ask them, close your eyes right now, you know, and ask them, remember a time when you were on fire for God. You couldn't wait to go to church. Couldn't wait to open up the Bible. You couldn't wait to sing worship songs. You couldn't wait to serve. And then and ask him, if that's not right now, why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, return to your first love. Yeah.
Right? Revelation. Because yeah. I think when we stop exercising our faith, you know, it's like crusty old cops, firefighters, You know, they're like, they're in annuals. You're like, been there, done that. You can't fire me. I'm with the union. You know, and they fall back on that mentality. It's like, you know, really? You're going to do that? You know, and like, I don't want ever for my son or my daughter ever for them to see me like slack off. You know? And you know, like we all have cop friends that have their everyday carry stuff. It's like, well, I got this here, I got this here, this here, this here. And then you ask the Christian, where's your Bible? Oh, it's on my phone. Really?
So, so we talk about faith. You know, I've got a buddy of mine who, he's always telling me when I'm helping other people, you need to be vulnerable, be vulnerable. And I hate that word. It's like my most hated of words, but, I'll be vulnerable. I'll be vulnerable here for a minute. So, you know, speaking of anxiety, I said the last week in particular, there were a couple nights where, if you've never experienced an anxiety attack, they suck. But, you know, nights where I couldn't sleep, where I'm like curled up in a ball and I can't sit in one position and I cannot get out of my own head. Okay. It's miserable. And so I love the book Pilgrim's Progress. Awesome book. Was it John Bunyan or something like that? Wrote that book. I can't remember his name. Anyway, book out of the 1600s. The writer was a pastor imprisoned for his faith. And he pens this book. And the book is just incredible. It personifies the struggles that we go through as a Christian. Okay. And so, you know, Christian Pilgrim is this character's name. And the name always represents the characteristics of the person. And so he does a great job. Just like biblically, you know, the names represent the characteristics of the person. Like Isaac means laughter, right? So, anyway, there's this particular part in the book, and they made a short movie out of it, an animated movie, which is the animation is so-so, but they do a pretty good job of sticking to the book for the most part. On Amazon, it's on Prime if you want to watch that thing. Good one. I watched it with my kids, and they were glued to the TV. I was actually surprised. But there's this one particular part where they end up off the path. Okay, this path leads to the eternal kingdom, and they end up off this path because they see an easier way and they want to take the easier way. And then they're basically kidnapped by this giant, and they're put into a cage. And this represents desperation. Okay, it represents like hopelessness is what it represents. And for me, it represents anxiety. Okay, because anxiety is almost being in a place where you can't see the hope in front of you. And so they're in this cage for a long time. And the interesting part about it is the giant, for some reason, is unable to kill them. Like he cannot physically kill them. He can't bring himself to physically kill them, but he convinces them, a lot of these travelers, a lot of these folks, on their way to this eternal kingdom, who he kidnaps, he convinces them to kill themselves because of their own desperation and their own hopelessness. And so these guys, Christian and his buddy, I think it's Hopeful, they're in this cage together. And it finally dawns on them where they are. They're in a state of hopelessness. And the only way to get out is this key that they have, which just so happens to represent the promises of God. And so that struck me pretty hard because, you know, it's the promises from the word that can get you through this place of anxiety and hopelessness. And so that hit me really hard, like right a punch to the gut. And so what I started doing from there, because of my lack of faith, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just started digging into the word of God, studying it. And, you know, if you're not reading the word of God as a conversation between you and him and a letter to you, that this book, you know, this book right here is a love letter from God to you. And it's historical. Yes. It's personal, 100%. And that's how you're going to build your faith. And that's how I have managed over time to, and I don't want to say climb out or dig myself out because it's not of me, right? But it's turning away from the condemnation and the promises of the enemy and turning toward the promises and the salvation of Christ. You know, I think that once you become a believer, the devil's going to go after your faith. You know, we see in the Garden of Eden with Eve, he said, did God really say? And so he's going to start questioning to you the goodness of God. And I think that that is part of this foundation of anxiety and depression and hopelessness and despair, whatever you want to call what you're going through mentally, especially in today's day and age, right? We have this so-called pandemic. We have wars and rumors of wars. You know, we have, where's that list? Is it 1 or 2 Timothy, Mike, where Paul goes through all the things from the last days? You know, people will be lovers of themselves. They will, haters of what is good. They won't listen to sound doctrine and all these things that are tools of the enemy to drive us away from God. And so the enemy wants to plant within us a lack of faith. And if we let it take root, it'll grow into this tree that overshadows all of God's goodness because we just don't believe it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so to combat this anxiety, I think it's incumbent upon us to build a foundation of faith. You know, because the storms are coming. Jesus said himself, don't build your house on the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there's the, I was sharing last Sunday, you know, at Calvary Chapel Buckeye. There's power in numbers, both on the evil side, on the good side, right? And, you know, you mentioned in the last days, you know, you can call it the Paul's T5 books, you know, 1 and 2 Timothy, Thessalonians, and Titus, right? And it's literally out there. And it right now, yesterday before the rain came, I put some preemptive, like, weed stuff. And, you know, over time, a weed could grow surely but slowly out of your attention in plain sight and become a nasty problem for you. And I think a lot of Christians allow, you know, things to take root in our minds. You know, Paul says to take captivity of your thought. How do you do that? You know, like when I was going through, when I had Bell's palsy when I was very young, as a teenager, I remember a Baptist preacher saying, I don't know who it was. He goes, you know, I don't know if it was Evie Hill. I think it was a black guy, black preacher. He's like, you want to cure depression? Do something for someone else and repeat that over and over and over and over again. And I was like, huh, that's stupid. But what happens when we do something for someone else? It makes us feel good, right? Simon Sinek wrote a book called Leaders Eat Last. And in one of the chapters, he talks about endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin. All chemicals that are in our brain that, if used in a way, good way, it produces a good life for you. You know, I don't want to go through the whole book. I mean, you can probably Google and get the chapter. But I realize that when I do something for someone else, I'm ministered to. And I know why that Baptist preacher said that. Even in my depression, Proverbs says, he who waters others will be watered himself. And I realize, like for example, us doing this podcast, if it doesn't minister to anybody, it ministers to me. The fact that you and I are able to connect over this, right? The Word of God. We could talk about faith, you know. And we could talk about different war stories, you know, how your department's better than mine or whatever. But at the end of the day, we get to talk about Jesus and talk about end times and, you know, iron sharpens iron. And sometimes we forget, like, if you're a piece of iron and you're being sharpened, it's not fun, if you think about it. Like when you're sharpening a knife before you cook.
Yeah.
You know, if you zoom into it, it's like taking off all the little pieces of scale, you know, that's been built up on the blade and it needs to be taken off. And so,
yeah.
And in these last days, it's, I mean, blatant sin's out in the open. I mean, just to the neighbors, you know, you're closer to Canada than I am, obviously, but I'm closer to Mexico than you are. But we have different ideological countries to the north and south of us. But then, like I, like when I, currently what I'm seeing in Ottawa and what those police officers are doing, especially the mounted police, they trampled on people.
Yeah.
I go, this is not a free country anymore. This is a dictatorship. You know? And I don't know if Canadian police is any different, but like when you swear an oath to protect and to serve. And then all the nuances in between, right? Blah, 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 blah. Constitution. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is like, I've been in uniform. How could you do this to citizens?
Yeah.
You didn't do this during the BLM riots, you know, but you're doing this to truckers. And when I saw the video of like, you know, them pushing reporters and my skin was boiling in righteous anger, you know, and because it's like, yeah, they're not cops in the United States, but they still wear a uniform that says police. And I'm like, that's not how you do policing. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what's upsetting is because, you know, Proverbs says in the last days that, you know, good would be evil and evil would be good. And that's what we're seeing. You know, they'll be lovers of themselves, as Paul says. They're, you know, they're hearing things that are itching their ears. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about repentance. They want to hear about, you know, feel good stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Bible teacher now, I was reminding, you know, my wife the other day, I'm like, I go, hey, when we get to heaven, I'm going to be in the back of the line, you know, because the Bible says that Bible teachers will have a stricter judgment. And, you know, it's like, what? This is, why did I pick this career? Reality is it's not a career, it's a calling, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, coming to the topic of anxiety and depression, I think as humans, we all go through it at a period of time. How do we handle those? The methods that we use is, I think that's what we need to be talked about, you know, especially in first responders, because why? You know, We're machismo. We're, you know, we're cops, firefighters. We're soldiers. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's said and done. You still need to talk to somebody. You still need someone to pray with. You need ministering in. You know, no matter how big of a person that person might be, we don't know what they're going through, right?
Yeah.
And especially when you hear about suicides, and you know, in the thin line, and you know, when you hear of someone that you know that took their life, that's when I blame myself. I'm like, okay, what could have I done? You know, did I not see the signs? Did I not, you know? And this is where, you know, we as first responders can't get calloused within our fold, within the brotherhood. Will there be suicides in the community? Yes. Will there be drug overdoses? Yes. But are those problems even within our fold? Yeah. How can we help them? You know, and talking about faith, that's what it's going to take. You know, it's going to take faith. Like when you get that inkling in your head, oh, I should text this person. It's been a while. Hey, praying for you. They might just need that one little text to remind them that God's loving them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because why? They were thinking about doing something stupid.
Yeah.
You know? It's like people that are stuck in traffic use voice to text. Hey, Siri. You know? Fill Siri's with a bunch of prayers. Text so-and-so. Tell them I'm praying for them, blah, blah, blah. You know? Because at a moment, you know, it's like we don't know who we're going to impact. Like, you know, when we had Brother Sherman on, and he was talking about just like his faith and his walk with the Lord, that's what sustained him. Right? And, you know, he texted me about how his former trainee was blessed by that episode.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's where I taught a cheesy message entitled Poor Me or Poor Me. You know, it's like Eeyore, right? P-O-O-R. Poor me, oh, woe is me, right? Versus pouring, P-O-U-R. Like, Lord, pour me out. Fill me and pour me out. Two different pour me's, right? And I think as someone that chooses to be in the thin line, you're choosing, in a sense, to sacrifice yourself, if you think about it. You know, Jesus was a sacrificial lamb, ultimate, right? When we raise our hands and we swear an oath, I solemnly swear, blah, 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 to defend the Constitution of the United States and different states, and what you're telling the public is you're willing to be poured out. And that's what we do. And unfortunately, our world, our mainstream media is not about, you know, showing the good things that the thin line uniform is doing. You know, it's more like, oh, he used his baton. You know, he was only holding a knife. When he used the gun, it was just a replica, you know, and that unfortunately, that's what we have to battle with. But that doesn't mean that we stop being good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I want to clarify something before we button this up, because you got to go. You know, if you're dealing with something like anxiety, depression, if you're dealing with a physical ailment or something like that, I'm not saying that you're having to deal with that in particular because of a lack of faith. Okay. I'm not narrowing it down to that. I'm specifically talking about my situation. Mine was, and I have had to repent and ask forgiveness. It is a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith and trust in what God is doing. And you know what? It gets pretty cloudy when you don't know what's happening. So that's my excuse. But your situation may be very much different than mine. Okay, trauma takes all sorts of ugly, ugly twists and turns and does all sorts of things to people. And so not saying that your situation is the same as mine, but what I am saying is that God has a solution. God has a solution. And you know what? That solution may be my grace is sufficient for you. You know, Paul, who had issues with his vision and, said he had a thorn in his side. He prayed to God three times, pled with God, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so that he dealt with that for the rest of his life, undoubtedly, because God provided grace to get him through it. Okay, so I'm not saying that a lack of faith, I mean, we're talking about Paul here. You know, there was certainly not a lack of faith like my own in Paul, I'm sure. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that God is the solution. So anything else, Mike?
No, and just to, piggyback on what you're saying, I love what the Bible represents in the sense of Jesus met everybody at their individual crisis, so to speak, individual level, from rich to poor to lame to blind, sick and health. And the nice thing about Jesus is he meets us individually in a relationship. It's not a religion. And like you said, everybody deals with crisis in a different way. And just because God dealt with this person this way, that doesn't mean he's going to deal with us that way. You know, we forget, Moses was a murderer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The man after God's own heart, King David himself.
Yeah.
He was a male whore. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Following too. But I mean, he was a male whore. He had his buddy Uriah's, he wanted Uriah's wife.
Oh, dude. Gideon lacked faith. Solomon was a kind of a moron, right?
Right.
I mean, all these guys clear down the line.
I mean, seriously, that's where I love the Bible because it's not just one religion, it must be this. No, it's a relationship. And
I'm sorry, I meant Samson. Did I say Solomon? I meant Samson. Go on.
But in all accounts in the Bible, it took faith to come to the Lord. And even for us today, in 2022, it takes faith to come to the Lord. And, those of us or those of you that are watching this or hearing this later on, maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you thought growing up because your parents went to church that makes you a Christian. That's not how it is. Much like being an officer, firefighter, soldier, you chose to go into that field. So too, you must choose to follow Jesus Christ. And, just because if you're born in this country that it makes you an automatic citizen here, that's not the case in heaven. You gotta make a choice, to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And God wants everybody to be saved, and whoever's watching this, you call out to the Lord. You don't have to be live with us to pray, Lord, I don't know. Just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Forgive you of your sins. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Go find a Bible teaching church. If the church says they need your money, run. But if the church says, hey, let's open our Bibles. We're going to go through this verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We have a good church there. Mm-hmm. And, hopefully also they believe in the gifts too.
Yeah.
But I think what Adam, you shared about faith and anxiety, God meets us where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even Meathead Samson, you mentioned, right? I mean, he fell because of a woman.
Yeah.
I kind of want to, when I get to heaven, I want to see a picture of her.
Yeah, was it worth it?
Like
being the
Samson.
Strongest man in the world?
I'm like, Samson, really? You fell for that? Come on now.
You let her touch your sick, long hair, man. Anyway. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for today's topic. I know if nothing else, I needed it for myself. We ask for forgiveness for our lack of faith. Lord, I remember a certain story where the one you questioned said, Lord, help me in my unbelief. And so that is my prayer, and it's my prayer for the listener this week, that you would help us in our unbelief. Because in spite of our lack of faith, you are faithful. So help us to always remember that. And even in the storm, we can look to you. After all, you spoke to Job from out of the whirlwind. So help us to be faithful to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Ooh. Oh, got some music.
A little bit. So quiet. There we go. Anyway, thanks, folks. So, as we continue in this ministry, we would like to reach more people, but more importantly, we want to reach you with content that is truthful and that it is from the Word, laced with love. So, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email, FitMindBelievers@gmail.com. And otherwise, share us on social media, like us on YouTube, and give us a review, especially if you're on iTunes. Or I think you can actually do reviews on Spotify. So give us a review. Hopefully it's a lot of stars, not a few, but either way, just let us know what you think. All right, take care. We'll see you next time.